My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
My word shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that for which I've sent it. What's that mean? Whether people reject it and are lost, or whether people obey it and are saved, God's word always accomplishes its purpose. God has revealed Himself to man. He has given people an opportunity. They are responsible for obeying God's word. You see, the power, my friends, is in the gospel. Romans 1:16, it's the power of God. Listen to these words. Hebrews 4:12 is a powerful verse about God's word having inherent power to change people's lives. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so as Paul writes, Paul wants them to know, look, the power's not in me, the power's not in you, the power's in the gospel, and it's never in vain when we preach God's word. However, there is going to be persecution. And in verse 2, Paul writes about this persecution, and Paul writes and says this persecution that happened, in essence, was actually good for us, that the gospel might be promoted and go on. Preaching the gospel and persecution, Paul knew, went hand in hand. And Paul let persecution for him be like gasoline on a fire. Acts chapter 14, Paul arose and said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Paul didn't get down or discouraged. He said, hey, this is the way it's got to be. Let's let it motivate us. Acts chapter 17, they were persecuted. Paul went on preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 19, every chapter you look at, as persecution arises, it seems to motivate Paul to keep doing the will of God. And friend, we've got to realize that persecution is going to happen, and it can be a sign that we're living right. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, the Bible says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, not might, but will, suffer persecution. And you know, when persecution comes, let's not get that frown on our face and think that God's against us and we're doing something wrong. The Bible says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. And so it is something we can look at with joy because we're fulfilling the will of God. But you know, with the privilege of preaching also comes the responsibility to only please God. And Paul understood this. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul said this, as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Now notice, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Paul writes and says, the gospel's not in vain. This persecution happened, actually worked out for our benefit and for yours. And whether it did or not, we've got to preach the gospel trying only to please God. Too many people miss the mark because they're trying to please the wrong person. Paul said in Galatians 1 verse 10, if I were still trying to please men, I'd not be a servant of Christ. We need to realize that when we obey the gospel and we dedicate and say to ourselves, I'm going to become a Christian, I've only got one person that I've got to make happy. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We've got to realize that our main goal as a child of God is not to make the world happy, not to go around and take a poll, not to hold our finger in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. Our main goal has been, always will be, to please God and Him alone. And if our goal is to please God and others' goal is to please God, well, we're going to work together. We're going to have great harmony. That's why we've got to preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season. That's why we've got to get away from all these man-made ideas and traditions. And regardless if people get offended or not, the Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 16, you don't become somebody's enemy when you preach the truth. Paul said, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? When we say what God says, we have one responsibility, to please Him and Him alone. My life is about pleasing God. Now, I'm not saying go out and be mean and unkind. That's not what we're talking about. But our main goal in this life is to please God. And if God's happy, the world doesn't matter. As long as I'm pleasing God, it doesn't matter what the world or society thinks. I've got to put God first in my life. Now, you notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul is going to relate how that some have done a lot of harm in the religious world by doing their things out of the wrong motives. Some are preaching out of money. Some are motivated for power and pride. And Paul is going to talk about that in verses 5 and 6. And the point he's making is we're not doing that. We're not here because of our own power or pride. We're not trying to make money off you like some are. You know, a lot of harm has been done in the religious world by people who, quote, were religious leaders who sounded good but were only in it for the money. We found out about these people. Religious leaders in the past who would get on TV and say, just send in X amount of dollars. You're helping so-and-so in such place to obey the gospel. And come to find out, they were padding their own pocket, taking people's Social Security checks and using those to fund their own luxurious lifestyle. Friends, that's not the way Christianity is. Paul said that's not what we did, and that's not what preaching the gospel is about today. We're not in it for the money. We're in it for the saving of people's souls. But here's a powerful verse. I want you to look in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 2. Those who the gospel is preached to also have a responsibility. Their responsibility is to study, Acts 17:11, and if it's the Word of God, to accept it as truth. Look at the responsibility of the hearers. Verse 13 is such a powerful passage. Paul said, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Paul said, here's something that's noteworthy about you. When we came and preached the gospel, you didn't accept it as the words of men. You searched it, you studied it, you saw it as the word of God, and you accepted it as that truth. The responsibility of every person who hears the gospel preached is to do two things. Number one, to make sure that what you're hearing is true to the Word of God. And number two, if it is, obey it because God said it, not because man said it. Think about Acts 17:11 again. Paul goes into the region of Berea. He preaches the gospel to them, and the Bible says they received it with readiness of mind. They were ready to hear what he said. What'd they do then? Automatically accept it? No. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were true. They heard the Word. They checked it to make sure it was from God. And if it was, they obeyed it because God said it, not because men said it. When the Word is preached, you have a responsibility. Make sure. And this is very important because a lot of people have gone astray on this point. Make sure that what's being taught is true to the Word of God. And someone says, with so much error, how do we do that? Here's how. Here's a real simple way. When the gospel's preached, make sure that someone says, and here's where the Bible says that. Don't let somebody say to you, well, we believe, or popular opinion says, or so-and-so who's a religious leader said. If you want to be sure that you're right with God, make sure that what you're hearing comes from the Bible. And someone says, to be saved, you need to do such and such, and here's where the Bible says that. You get your Bible and see. You study it and check for yourself. And then if it's true, don't obey it because that person said it. Obey it because God said it. And if it's true, you're responsible to accept it as the Word of God. And just like those in the first century, we've got to become imitators of the churches of Christ in that area. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, Paul commends these people because they became imitators of him and of the churches in that region. We need to do the same thing. What are we striving to be? Aren't we supposed to be striving to be the people you read about in the New Testament, to be the church that Jesus established? We need to be like them in the first century. Listen to what they did in Acts 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. How can we be imitators of the first century Christians when we continue in the apostles' doctrine? Not the teaching of men, when we continue in the apostles' fellowship, who they had fellowship with, the apostles' breaking of bread, their fellowship, their prayers, their teaching. We've got to continue in what they did. Well, how do we do that? By seeing what they did and following their pattern. And thus, we need to imitate people, Christians, the teaching of the New Testament. Hey, let's realize also, evil people and Satan are going to do everything they can to hinder us in this endeavor. Paul says in verses 15 and 16 that certain evil people have got in the way and they're going to be punished for that. And Satan himself is also trying to hindering the spread of the Word of God in verse 18. There are evil people who do not want the gospel preached because it contradicts their lifestyle. It makes them feel guilty when we preach about righteousness and godly living and the grace of God, which teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly. There are always going to be people who object to that because they want to live in sin and do what they want. Evil people are always going to try to hinder the gospel, but here's what you can know. One day, those people are going to reap a very serious punishment. The Bible says in the same book, or the next part of Paul's letter, in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, that the Lord is coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel and those who do not live according to the teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Their day of punishment is coming, but let's remember who's really behind it. Satan is the real hindrance to the gospel message today. In verse 18, Paul will say very clearly, Satan hindered us. And friends, at times, Satan does what he can to hinder God's people. You know he did that in the book of Job. Job chapter 1 and 2, all the events that occurred, Job's children dying, his loss of all his wealth, the health in chapter 2, who did that? Satan did. Let's realize Satan is an active hindrance to gospel preaching and to true Christian living. Think about these words in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's true, my friends, that Satan is doing everything he can to hinder us. Don't let him hinder you. Are you sure that you've done what the Christians in Thessalonica did? Are you sure that you're right with God? Have you believed in Jesus as the Son of God? In John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll surely die in your sins. Having believed in Jesus, have you repented of your sins? Have you turned to God from your sin to serve the true and living God? 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. Have you confessed the name of Jesus before men? Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. And have you been baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Friend, if you've not done those things, the devil is still having his way with you. You need to change your life and obey the gospel. And friends, we say that so that you can have the hope of heaven. May each of us be really committed to living for Christ every day. May we have a work of faith, labor of love, and perseverance of hope, knowing that we're trying every day to do the best we can to serve God. May God bless each of us as we strive to live for the gospel of Christ every day of our life.